That's a lot of thought, Nick. And I want to run it by you.
Sure.
I think the surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, Mantar. Everything has a more real sports feel, and it just gets you invested that much more.
The dude's teeth aren't probably as big either.
It gives it more of a big fight feel. It makes it feel more real. If that glass shatters, I won't be ashamed. There will be happy man tears streaming down my face. Just the goosebumps will be bumped out. I'll hold my arm out like the rock so you can see my goosebumps. And I'll have happy man tears coming down my face if that glass shatters. Oh, my goodness.
And now, your hosts of the Card Subject to Change podcast. For frequency sake, tag team champions of the world, the Wizard CZ and never wrong Nick Foles.
Hello, all. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Card Subject to Change podcast. We're so happy you're here to join us. Welcome in. We're here to talk some wrestling, and this is the podcast by the fan, for the fan, and in doing so, we're having a fan on today. But before we get to that fan, I got to introduce you to my tag team partner, co-champs of the Four Frequency Sake Network. We are the tag team champs of the world, the Wizard, CZ. Wiz, how you doing?
Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. It's a beautiful day. I've got the curtains open, the window open. I'm enjoying what I can while I'm inside doing the podcast from the Wizard Studios. I know you're out in the Highview Studios, so you're out actually enjoying the weather. I'll get out later. But yeah, like you said, podcast by the fans for the fans, and we've got a fan with us today here to talk about his life in wrestling. Let's welcome in Stryker. Stryker, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy?
Well, thank you for having me.
Stryker, we're doing great, Stryker. We're happy you're here. Of course, this is the man, this is the mystery man under the hat. We're going to do all we can to get to know Stryker here in the next 45 minutes to an hour or so. And we both met Stryker at an SCW Pro show. That's the best part about being at a wrestling show, is meeting the fans and interacting with them. And Stryker is a fan of our show, of course, but talk about what it means, you know, I'll ask you the first question I ask all of our guests, Stryker. What is it about pro wrestling? Why pro wrestling? What got you hooked?
Man, I think it was since probably the beginning. Probably the first time I watched it, I was hooked right away.
What was that first show? What do you remember being the first incarnation of wrestling that you watched?
It was probably at my great-grandma's. One night, one of my cousins said, "Hey, can I watch this wrestling show?" And I'm like, "Okay, sure, whatever." I didn't know anything about it, but then once it turned on, I was like, "Wow!" I was just hooked right away. Seeing like,
what hooked you?
I think it was with the storytelling and the action.
All right. So talk about
storytelling. Go ahead, Nick. Storytelling's a big part of wrestling, and action's a big part of wrestling. We met you at an SCW Pro show, and I know you've been going to them long before we met you, and you've gone to us long before after you. When you go to an SCW Pro show or an indie show for that matter, what are you going for? What's the one thing you're looking for, or the one thing you're hoping to see while you're there?
I just love being with people that enjoy the same thing I do. Just enjoying the show and talking to the guys after the show or even halftime.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sure. Who do you gravitate towards? Who are some of your favorites? Who, if you could name a specific wrestler that got you hooked or a specific match, talk about that. What person got you tuned in, and why was it?
Are you saying for SCW or just in general?
Both.
Well, I would say in the beginning, it was Triple H. he's always been that guy. Like, I can watch his entrance or listen to him on the mic day in, day out. And then for SCW wise, our good buddy, JT Energy, he just spoke to me right away as a gimmick and just as a wrestler.
Now, I understand that's probably says I'm a Paul Heyman shirt. Is it safe to say you're a Paul Levesque guy too?
Well, of course.
We'll talk about what Paul Levesque is doing now in WWE. He's kind of turned, righted the ship. There's new management. There seems to be a new breath of fresh air, a new era of sorts on our hands. What were your thoughts on WrestleMania? Either night, either matches that you took away from that you were impressed with. What were just your overall thoughts?
Oh, it was fantastic start from finish, unless we're talking about the Uso match.
And we won't talk about the Uso match.
No.
What stuck out for you on night one, Stryker?
I would honestly say either the main event or that ladder match.
That ladder match was a lot of fun. Were you happy with who came out winning the ladder match? Were there other teams that you were rooting for? Any surprised by either of the winners?
I would say that I'm just happy that they're finally splitting the titles and not keeping one team having each belt.
I agree. What caught your eye on night two? What's your favorite match coming off of night two of WrestleMania?
I would have to say the main event.
It was a great match. Yeah.
It's very hard to get two nights where you have two main events with so many moving parts in both those matches, and they hit a home run in both match. They told a great story in both match. You mentioned you like storytelling. They told a great story. Rock told a great story on Saturday night. Yes. People can knock him. People can call him Hollywood Rock, but for a 52-year-old entertainer, he was amazing out there. He told a great story. And then in the Bloodline Rules main event, obviously with Roman and Cody, a lot of moving parts. And everybody just knocked it out of the park. And I rewatched it for the third time the other night. And it's still as perfection to me. I don't know how anybody can rip that match apart. To me, it did everything it was supposed to do. It dotted every I, it crossed every T. And I'm really looking forward to what Cody has in store for his reign. I guess I'm going to ask you about Cody now as the new champion, this breath of fresh air of sorts in the WWE. Who are some guys you want to see him take on in his title reign coming up? A bunch of fresh matchups that we haven't seen before, possibly never seen. Talk about some matchups you would like to see Cody have.
Honestly, I would love to see like him and AJ Styles go at it.
Yeah. Sign me up.
We ever had a one-on-one.
I don't know if they have. You know, they've got that Bullet Club relationship in common. But yes, AJ Styles doesn't have bad matches at all. And him and Cody Rhodes, I think, would be phenomenal. No pun intended.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Cody and AJ are the only two active wrestlers, two of four, who have held both the NWA and the WWE Championship.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They are. Yep, very good. Besides AJ Styles, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for Cody to take on?
Well, I don't know if they're gonna push it like immediately, but I'd like to see Tomohiro Togo and Cody.
Yeah.
And yeah, that'd probably be a hell of a match.
Maybe if we're lucky, maybe a Jey Uso, a former tag team partners, go at it.
What were your thoughts? You know, you mentioned Tama Tonga. What were your thoughts seeing him arrive on the scene on SmackDown?
I'm just surprised they were giving him the main event push. I thought they were going to put him to NXT at the time.
I think there were a lot of people sharing those thoughts. I don't think it's a bad thing. He does have that lineage with the Bloodline. Not directly, but not directly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be a lot of fun. I think we're going to see another incarnation of the Bloodline Civil War as things shake out. Possibly, I've seen speculation online, and I wouldn't be opposed to this, possibly a Jacob Fatu coming in and teaming with Tama Tonga and Solo, and the Usos reuniting with Roman to kind of decide who the tribal chief is moving forward. Is it going to be Solo? Is it going to be Roman? I see those two being the headline in the near future.
Well, they're really sowing the seeds, fellas, I think, for something special. And it started the other night on SmackDown. That was special how they brought in Tama Tonga, beat down Jimmy, kicked him out. Solo stomping on Heyman's phone, much to Heyman's dismay. Heyman played that segment perfectly, in my opinion. He just, when one door closes for Heyman, another one opens. And this is another storyline for him to shine in and to be great in. And I'm telling you what, when Roman Reigns does return, it'll probably be to a face pop to take on the Rogue bloodline, and it's going to be magical. It's going to be great. Like, it could be 2 months down the road. It could be 6 months down the road. I really hope they let this story soak, let it become a bigger thing, get another member in there, let these members run roughshod. And then when that moment comes back, it's going to be great. And Heyman's going to be, and I'm going off you wearing the Heyman shirt there, Stryker. Heyman's going to be a big part of this storyline as well.
I could totally see that happening, because I feel like we're going to have like a who's Heyman's on the side with, the new bloodline or the old bloodline.
Right, because Solo answered. Solo told him these were the tribal chief's orders, which they clearly weren't. It seems as though Solo is acting as a rogue member of the bloodline, which I love. I love finally they have something for Solo other than standing there and looking like the badass that he is. He's finally getting some mic time. He's finally going to get some spotlight, which I think is going to be big for his character development, big for his growth in the ring. I'm really looking forward to that. But this new bloodline thing is it's not only the great unknown is we don't know who Cody's going to face yet at Backlash and who his future opponents are going to be. Who's Cody going to face at SummerSlam? I couldn't even tell you right now, and that's great. We don't know. It's great that we don't have an idea. But this new bloodline thing, I think, is going to be something special. It's going to – where the bloodline ended, this one's going to take it and go to the next level. And I'm anxious to see and excited to see where it goes.
Yes. Stryker, let me backtrack a little bit here. I want to ask you the same question I ask anyone who tells me they're a Paul Levesque or Triple H guy. Which is his best entrance music, and why is it the King of Kings?
No, it's not.
Well, I would say the early 2000s one. Come on. God, what was the song? You Want Some Song?
Okay. So,
and King of Kings will also be his one of the best theme songs as well.
Now I know what Never Wrong's gonna say. He's partial to the Evolution theme. I can see it in his eyes, and I'm not negating that, but what I meant when I asked that question is Solo theme song. Okay. The Evolution theme is absolutely amazing. You know, Motorhead doing three of his entrance themes in one incarnation or another of Triple H is fantastic, but as far as Solo entrance themes goes, I will always advocate for him coming out to King of Kings as opposed to The Game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because it seems like it fits him more.
I agree. I mean, you can't come out on a throne with a skull crown. And I mean, it would have just been if he had come out to the King of Kings on that night. Was that WrestleMania 30, I believe? If my memory is correct, I would have been ecstatic. That would have been just so fitting and so perfect. We were talking about WrestleMania. I want to ask your opinion on the other side of the coin. We had Drew versus Seth. Obviously, Drew came away with the win, but did not walk out of WrestleMania with the title. What are your thoughts on Damian Priest?
I'm really curious what they're going to be doing with him, because there's no storyline as of right now, but I'm just curious on what's next for him.
Yeah, all this time with... Oh, go ahead, Stryker.
Because I originally thought on the Raw after Mania, I thought the Judgment Day was going to turn on, because he wore a completely different outfit of like different color than everybody else. And how he had his own separate entrance and new theme song.
With Damian Priest, we get these fresh matchups, right? We don't know.
Oh.
We don't know where he's going to lead. He's been in a tag team with Finn Balor. They've been a great job of defending both of the sets of the tag titles. They lost them at the WrestleMania ladder match. But Damian never really been feuding with anybody except maybe R-Truth on the side. Maybe R-Truth is the first one in line for the title shot. No, we find out Jey Uso is the number one contender now. And Jey Uso, to me, is the right guy to put in there with Damian right now. Jey Uso can work. He's definitely got the crowd on his side. He's a big-time face. My son walking through the studio here does the Jey Uso for me while we're on the air. He's a big-time face that can work, and he's going to work well with Damian Priest. And Damian Priest is a good worker, too. Damian Priest won this world title when he was working with Bad Bunny. They seen what he was able to do with a big-time celebrity. He protected him. He made him look like $1 million. Everybody loved that match. The crowd loved that match. I think that night they knew that Damian Priest was a future world champion. That's why they gave him the money in the bank. I'm glad to see him finally cash it in. I love how he cashed it in with CM Punk's involvement, because in my opinion, CM Punk and Drew doesn't need the belt for their feud. It's got enough emotion and pettiness and trash talk between the two of them to work on its own. But Damian Priest and Jey Uso, I'm really interested in seeing this fresh matchup. And we're going to get a bunch more fresh matchups, fellas, as we have the drafts in the coming weeks. I mean, we haven't even really talked about the draft yet. I mean, so much can happen in just these next couple weeks, people switching shows. So we might get Jey Uso and Damian Priest might be just a one-off before the flip-flop of the draft happens. So I don't know. I'm really excited to see what the draft brings.
Well, I was going to say sure about that for the draft is, I feel like they're going to draft Damian to Raw and then the rest of Judgment Day to SmackDown.
So that would leave him out of SmackDown, leave it door open for another member of SmackDown over, or of Judgment Day over on SmackDown. I like that idea. It keeps the group relevant. It keeps it fresh, and then it keeps him on his own. It would be interesting to see how the Judgment Day acts without one of their key members not with them. Wiz, what do you think about that?
I actually got to wonder if it's going to be the other way around, because Cody's been floating around on both shows, and since he's been back, he's been a Raw guy. So I kind of wonder if Damian will get drafted over to SmackDown with the title, keeping Cody on Raw and the Judgment Day staying there. I like the scenario where they're separating. I think that would offer more fresh storylines, fresh matches. But I got to wonder, I really got to wonder if Damian goes to SmackDown and takes the World Heavyweight Championship there.
I could see even that. I could see that.
I think the biggest question mark with the Judgment Day is, where does Dominic Mysterio land? Is he get separated from the group, or does he stay with Mommy and Rhea Ripley? I hope he sticks with Rhea. I want to see where that natural progression goes. See when the breakup does happen. I don't want it caused by the draft. I don't want it to happen naturally through storyline. So that's what I'm hoping happens. But you're not going to have both champions on Monday Night Raw. Wiz, no. That's a good suggestion. And you got to think with Raw inevitably going to Netflix here in 2025, it's going to be a few short months away, 2025. It's going to be here before we know it. They're going to want a big impact, no pun intended, on Netflix. And I think Cody's going to stay on Raw, and I could see Damian moving to SmackDown, getting the World Heavyweight title back on SmackDown where it belongs, I think.
Let me go back to something you were talking about, Nick.
Oh, for sure.
And that is Rhea and Dom. I agree. I would love to see the progression of their story, but I have a feeling that Dominic is going to get lured away by Legado del Fantasma. I really think that is in the works. They've kind of planted the seeds a little bit with his partnership with Santos. I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see the progression of him and Mommy, but the eventual lure of Legado del Fantasma. I think that'd be fun.
I think that makes sense with Legado del Fantasmo feuding with LWO. Rey on one side, Dominic on the other makes sense. We've seen the match at WrestleMania. I got to think that's not the last time we're going to see those two factions cross each other. Maybe they see enough in Dominic to break him out on his own and to get him into Legado, get him into another group and push him to be a bigger character than what he is in Judgment Day. I don't know. I'm excited to see it, but I think he's going to get separated from the Judgment Day. I do. And you're probably right, CZ, you know, Wiz, with your fortuitous thought that he's going to end up with Legado and Santos Escobar. I like that combination. I think Santos would be a good learning tree for Dominic. I think I would like to see him stay with Judgment Day, but if he is separated, that'd be a good landing spot for him.
And you got to kind of think they've got to even the scales a little bit, because the LWO, in my opinion, is becoming oversaturated with talent. I mean, you've got,
you mean like the real NWO?
A little bit, just a little bit. How many LWO members are there now? 7, 8?
There's plenty of them.
Oh man. So Stryker, talk about, you know, we've been talking about WrestleMania matches. We've been talking about your time at SCW. Talk about, where have you been in the wrestling world? Talk about some of the shows that you've attended, who you've seen live, whether it be on the independent scene, be in the big leagues. Where have you gravitated towards? Where have you been in your wrestling journey?
Man, it feels like I've been everywhere. I've been to Survivor Series, a few NXT takeovers from all over the country, Chicago, Phoenix, Royal Rumble. And recently, well, not really recent, but a little while ago, Dreamwave for the first time.
Dreamwave's fantastic.
He was at the Bret Hart show. I remember seeing Stryker at the Dreamwave Bret Hart show. That was a fun show, wasn't it?
Oh, man. I'd love to go back to one of those shows one of these days, because that was definitely one of the show I'll never forget.
I love Dreamwave. I'll give a shout out to our friend DB, one of the ring announcers for Dreamwave, and also the ring announcer for Iron Spirit Pro. He's really who got, other than Nick, he was a catalyst to me being a big fan of Dreamwave, just from his friendliness and hospitality towards Nick and I. But Dreamwave's hard to get to. Dreamwave, I don't want to criticize them because they have a great product. But if I were to make one critique, it would be that it's time to move to a bigger building, because the Knights of Columbus sells out in seconds, in a heartbeat.
It does. It's a great venue. That venue is magical. If you've been to a Dreamwave show and been able to get to the Knights of Columbus, there's just something about that building. But they've got about as many fans in there as they can get, and it would be kind of cool to see them get to a bigger venue. But that, I understand why they don't at Knights of Columbus. It gives them that down home indie feeling. Yes. Getting big names in there. You know, Stryker, you met Bret Hart. I met Bret Hart. I've seen El Hijo del Vikingo up there. I'm trying to think who else. Shane Douglas, Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase.
I had to give you that reminder.
Nasty Boys. Just a slew of big-time names. Nick Aldis was there about a year ago. Alexander Hammerstone. Just names that I've run into up there. And for... ticket prices are pretty reasonable for them. It's just a little over an hour away. If you're ever, I'll sit here and shout from the mountaintops and tout them. If you ever get a chance to go to a Dreamwave show, for the Knights of Columbus show, they sell out quick. But if you can grab tickets, get there and go to them. It's a fantastic venue and show. Talk about that venue, Stryker. You know what I mean. It's small, intimate, but it's great.
Oh, it is. And when I first, well, when we were driving there, I was like, where is it again? And I saw this building. I was like, there's no way that this is this building. But when I went in, I was just amazed at the same time, because it's a beautiful building. Don't get me wrong. But I do agree saying that they should have, like, maybe a bigger building. kind of like the community center we have for SDW.
Yes, I mean, there were some great memories at the Walcott Coliseum, right? And that was a smaller venue. I do too. It's the MSG of SCW Pro, in my opinion, but a better move for sure for them. I'm sure financially with getting tickets, more people through the doors at the Bluegrass Community Center. And the Bluegrass Community Center has turned into a great venue with great memories. Anniversary show last year, that 20th anniversary show was magical. There's been some great shows leading up to Epic there. Epic's going to be there in a couple weeks. I'm assuming you're going to be at Epic, right, Striker?
Oh, 100%. I actually have a funny story about Epic is how this hat became popular.
Yes, do tell, do tell.
So in 2022, when Sky Too Hotty came in.
Yep.
And I was just, well, I bought this hat maybe a week or two before, and I was like, might as well just wear it. Because why not? And then during Scotty Tuhati's match with Connor Braxton, I feel someone grab my hat. I was like, I didn't realize it was Scotty. And he actually did a few punches on Braxton and then did a hat flip and then placed it back on my head.
And now it's a permanent fixture at every independent show you go to. It has to be there, right?
Well, any wrestling show.
Yes, it has to be there. That's how.
For those who are not in the know, Striker is known as the Garth Brooks of SCW Pro. And ask anyone you know, Scotty. And they will tell you.
When Scotty Too Hotty makes you put you over, you got to wear the hat, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because that's how I met him. That's how I met Striker. I recognized him as the man in the hat. I'm like, I got to get to know this guy. I'm glad that we're getting to know him here on the Card Subject to Change podcast. We are going to pause here, as we customarily do, to give a little love to our sponsors. This is the Card Subject to Change podcast, the podcast by the fan for the fan. We are powered by Low Pies Pizza, built by Durham Remodeling, colored by Ryan Allison Tattoo, and protected by Jared Zook of Country Financial. Glad to have him on board. We're glad you're on board, too. Please stay with us. We'll be right back here with the mystery man under the hat, Striker, right after these messages.
Football season may be over, but for frequency's sake, still has you covered for all your sporting needs. Tune in every Sunday when the best professional wrestling podcast around, Card Subject to Change, gets you caught up on everything inside the ropes. They won't miss a count with weekly analysis and interviews. More into auto racing? We've got a double dose for you on the track. Tune in to Fast Money with Rod Villagomez each week and win some money with the quickest bets in all of sports. Want more insight from Pit Row? Check out the Green, White, and Checkered podcast where they give their insight on everything happening on and off the track. Need your basketball fix? Points in the Paint has you covered with live shows every other week looking at everything in the association. Back by popular demand, we have the return of the Payoff Pitch, FFSQC's baseball show, covering you on news around the MLB. If you're missing football, don't fret. Mark and Dan still have you covered in the football lounge. Missing Joe Winkle? Probably not, but he's still here talking sports on Educated Ignorance. Football season might be over, but we've still got you covered. For frequency's sake, you know what we mean.
For frequency's sake is brought to you by Durham Remodeling, serving the Quad City area's remodeling and repair needs since 1973. Clint's Draft House, grab a bite and a pint. 7th Street Moline. Low Pies, New York-style pizza served up by the slice or pie, Davenport. Lifted Energy, energy drinks, coffee, donuts, and more, hashtag get lifted. Atomic Sports Cards and Collectibles, sports cards and memorabilia, vintage clothing, hats, pennants, and more. Ryan Allison Tattoo, step into the vibrant world of tattoos with Ryan Allison. And A Cut Above, offering quality custom woodwork designed specifically around our customers.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, we're so glad you're tuning in here. This is Card Subject to Change, podcast by the fan for the fan. We are powered by Low Pies Pizza, built by Durham Remodeling, colored by Ryan Allison Tattoo, and protected by Jared Zook, Country Financial. Want to take a quick second to everyone who's tuned in. Appreciate you watching us live, if you are. If you're over on our YouTube page and you haven't already, give us a like and a share and a subscribe, and even hit that bell for notifications when we hit drop more content. Before we get back to our guest, I need to take a moment and remind y'all about the Sandra Lee Memorial Car Show, the third annual Memorial Car Show. Card Subject to Change, proud sponsors of the car show this year. This is 100% a charity event, as the proceeds go to the Autism Society of the Quad Cities. The reason we bring this up, the reason we're sponsors, we're going to have a small presence there, but you can meet famous wrestlers like Fred Ottman, who you know better as maybe Tugboat, or perhaps even the Shockmaster. Cowboy Bob Orton is going to be there. The Godfather is going to be there. Sorry, is my train of thought derailed?
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware is going to be there. The original Glow Girl Hollywood. USWA superstar Luke Graham Jr. Plus other celebrities from the car world like Von Hot Rod. Like I said, all proceeds go to the Autism Society of the Quad Cities. If you want to register a vehicle, it's $20. But if you want to make a donation, it's a suggested donation of $5. Kids under 12 and veterans and first responders get in for free. And you can even pick up a limited poster for autographs. There's only going to be 50 of them, so you got to get them while they last. And you can also get in on a raffle for a Pepsi pedal car. Tickets for that are just $1. That is May 4th. Head on over to the Rock Island County Fairgrounds. You'll see the Wizard and Mr. Never Wrong Nick Bull. We will both be there at least at some point, talking and shaking hands with the wrestlers. But it's going to be fun. I'm excited. But let's get back into it, Nick. We've got a guest on the show like we often do, and he is the Garth Brooks of SCW Pro, Mr. Stryker. Stryker, are you planning on making it out to the car show to see any of those wrestling celebrities?
Well, sadly, I won't be able to attend. I'm going down to Florida at that time. I wish I could.
Not a bad place to be. There's a lot going on May 4th. We got Backlash. I know our friends, I believe our friends at Absolute Pro Wrestling are putting on a show in Waterloo. There's a lot of wrestling happening. There's a lot going on. But let's kind of get back into things here.
Backlash is that day. I mean, that's a special start time. I think it's like noon or 1 o'clock here since they're over in France. I mean, I know the card is pretty lacking right now, Stryker, but what are you most looking forward to or want to see happening at Payback at Backlash and going forward?
It's like you just said, it's lacking the card right now. There's not much storyline right now. So I'm just,
but if you were booking it, how would you book it? What would you want to put on there?
Oh man, I would maybe do a Raw tag team title match with Awesome Truth and Judgment Day, and probably maybe an upcoming team against A Town Down Under for the SmackDown tag team titles.
Let's throw New Catch Republic in that match. I would love, I love those two. Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, fantastic. The our friend Joe Winkle, he had to do a spit take when I told him the name of one of their signature moves was the Birmingham Hammer. It's double burning hammer.
That's like, I love that move. I'm wondering who makes the card and who doesn't, because WrestleMania was two nights and it was jam packed full of great storylines, great matches, great superstars. And here you have Backlash. Not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody's going to be on that card. And there's a lot of interesting stories to tell. So somebody's going to get left off. I don't know. I would like to see most or all the titles defended at Backlash. I know it's not possible. I know it's not a Night of Champions format, but man, I would really like to see all the titles defended at Backlash.
I think the biggest title that we're not going to see defended at Backlash, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that Logan Paul is not going to be there defending the US title.
Okay.
That's just my gut feeling. But you know, I want to, let me throw this out to both of you here. We had a little story between Bailey, Naomi, and a favorite of the card subject to change, because it's always
Tiffany Central time in this podcast.
Does Tiffany Stratton make her way into a title match against Bailey? Possibly a triple threat with Naomi there as well.
I rather just have a Bailey versus Tiffany, to be honest, but that's just me. Because we all know that she's going to become one of those mega stars.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I agree, but the way things played out on SmackDown kind of makes me lean towards it being a triple threat. That's just my thought process.
Like, we could see maybe that quote-unquote women's title match next week, and then Tiffany's going to interfere somehow.
I could see that. I'd be all about that.
She is the next megastar that they have, so they are going to feature her as predominantly as much as they can, and whether or not she has a belt or not, she's not going to be denied. Like, she is going to start being on every show. Maybe she's not in this match, but maybe she comes out and costs Naomi. And then you get a feud with Naomi before she moves on to Bailey. But I have my eyes, obviously, set on Tiffy time in this upcoming draft, because I think she is one of the key players that's going to end up moving. I think, if she moves to Raw, look out. They're gonna push her to the sky. But she can still get her push on SmackDown, working with the likes of Bailey, maybe a Jade Cargill down the road. But look for her in the draft. That's one of the big stars that I have in the draft that I'm looking forward to seeing where she goes and seeing just what they have in store, what they have planned for her.
Well, I was thinking for Backlash, I feel like there's going to be something's going to happen between Gable and Sami Zayn for Raw. And I feel like they're going to do a rematch at Backlash.
I do too. Got that feeling, new Striker. I like where you're going there. There's definitely some tension, foreseeable tension. Not tension yet, but foreseeable tension. They're kind of buddies now. Hey, you helped me get ready for the Gunther match. Thanks for helping me. I'm going to pay you back with a match. But Gable's not going to play nice in that match. I think Gable is going to maybe bend the rules a little bit. Do something he's not supposed to do, and do something out of character. I know we've kind of talked about this previously, CZ. I don't know if it's on the show or off air. You see Gable doing something, some shenanigans to get the belt or somehow screw over Sami Zayn, don't you?
The turn is coming. With the whole shush and the thank you getting as over as it is. And Sammy Chad not being in the match at WrestleMania, which many of us and probably his character, probably Chad Gable, feeling the same way, should have been the Intercontinental match, is Gable versus Gunther. But I think that we are going to see a very dastardly turn from Chad Gable in the near future. It's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be brutal. Sammy is going to get the snot kicked out of him.
And I can totally see that happening as well.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because I would totally love to see a Gable heel turn and see what's next for him.
I agree. Speaking of what's next for people, though, where does Gunther fit in? Does he come back to challenge Sammy again for the Intercontinental, or is he moving up in the world? Are we going to see him challenging Priest or possibly Jey Uso coming out of that title match?
I feel like it's his time. It is his time to move up to the big top now.
Without a doubt.
I mean, don't get me wrong. His Intercontinental title reign was one of the title reigns we'll talk about far in the future. But I think it's his time to become world champion.
I agree. And yeah, I know Nick agrees.
You don't finish second in the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row. You don't have the longest intercontinental reign ever. You don't got something bigger planned for you. And I'm excited as a Gunther fan. I love the guy. I cannot wait to see what happens. I can't wait to see where the draft takes him and who's next to challenge him. We're going to get some fresh matchups, and that's what's great about the draft. Whatever show you end up on, we're going to get some fresh matchups, and it's just going to be a better product all around. And with these overseas shows that I feel that they're doing, they want to put bigger WrestleMania-esque cards together for these shows. So we're going to get the best possible matchups we can. It's exciting, and it's draft kicking off here next week. It's really going to start getting that plan put into motion.
Yes, yes. And with that draft, we're going to see where titles are going to land. Perhaps some titles switch places, like I suggested, Priest going over to SmackDown with the World Heavyweight. I think they're going to keep Cody on Raw with the WWE Championship. I really do. That seems to be his show. That's where he shines the most, in my opinion. Do we see... Right now, they've got the belts kind of together, if you know what I mean, like the Women's World Champion, the Women's WWE, they're on the same show. Do we see them kind of mix and match? And
I can see
my other question for you gentlemen, and Nick, you being the belt connoisseur, is it time that we got some new belts for the tag team champions?
Yes, I would love to see new tag team belts. If they want to still give them the red and blue from different brands, I understand that. You could work that into the actual title plates themselves. I think these tag belts are a bit generic, in my opinion.
Yes,
there's no gold on them. They're not gold. They're silver. You know, you don't. When you're cutting a promo, you're not. I'm coming after the silver. You're coming after the gold. You got to have gold on the championship. I love the look of the WWE Heavyweight Championship, both the men's and the women's. I can live with, or excuse me, the heavyweight. I'm talking about, I love the heavyweight design. It's grown on me. The WWE is kind of plain, but I can live with it. It's got gold on it, but the tag belts, come on. You got to have gold on it. And this is a great time. They've split them. They can now make them both unique to their shows and have them look a little bit different, in my opinion. But now it's time to throw some gold on the belts and give the tag team division some gold to go after. Right, Striker?
Oh, 100%. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if any of you listen to Pat McAfee, but Cody wanted to bring back that Wendigo belt.
Yep.
Like a new design of it.
What do you think about that? Are you fine with that?
Oh, 100%, or even one I have behind me from the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Because that belt will always be my favorite design of any era of professional wrestling.
I love the Attitude Era Eagle. If they could somehow... I know everybody likes the Winged Eagle from the 80s and early in mid-90s. If they could somehow get that design with a new WWE logo, I think it would be a... People rush out by it. They'd go out and get it. It'd be a quick seller. It would look good. New regime, new era. Throw it on Cody. Give him a new belt. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I think going back to the tag, give Cody a new belt. Going back to the tag teams, let's get away from calling them the Raw and the SmackDown championships. Let's go back to something like the WWE tag team and the World tag team, like they've done with the main titles. That's just me.
Yeah, I think it's way overdue that they should have a new design because we've had those belts how long now?
Oh, geez. The blue, you're talking the blue and the red? Oh, yeah. Man.
Too long.
Yep. Too long. It's got to be 6-7 years, if not more.
If not more, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time.
The copper, they kind of had the bronze.
We're not going to talk about
Spartan helmet design ones, and then they switched to these. But yeah, it's been a good number of years. It's time for a change, and it'd be a welcome change. I think a lot of people want to see that change with the tag belts.
Can I quote a favorite of mine from his heel era and just say, enough is enough and it's time for a change?
You got to be wrapped in caution tape to do that.
Okay, I'll make that happen next time.
Stryker, I think the next time we'll see you will probably be SCW Pro Epic. What are you looking to most on that show? It's shaping up to be a pretty good card.
Oh, clearly the Cornboy versus Manders, because that first match was one of my matches of the year.
Yes.
It might be the SCW Pro match of the year so far, that first matchup with Cornboy and Manders out at the Bluegrass Community Center. You know both guys are going to want to bring it. Lights a little brighter for Epic. So you're right. I like that you mentioned that. I'm excited for that matchup. I'm really looking forward to it because I think those guys are going to make better on what they did before.
I agree. I'm excited. That's probably going to be my low-key match of the night. I'm sure that Devil Dog and Mason Beck is going to be super hard-hitting and a fun match, but Manders and Cornboy are going to knock it out of the park. I think that's the match to watch. No offense to our friend the Devil Dog, who we love. We love Manders too, but yeah. I'm excited. A couple weeks away from Epic, but Stryker, while we have you here, any closing thoughts? Anything you want to wrap up with tonight?
Well, the thing is about me, I could just talk about wrestling for hours.
We can too. We're the same way.
It's you know, we've said it before. It sounds cliche. It sounds tacky, but wrestling is a big family. You go to a live 100%. Show, you meet new people. That's how we met you. We always interact with you on shows. You interact on here. We love that. Just always love meeting and seeing familiar faces, new faces. Wrestling is the great uniter, and I think that we all three agree with that. Wrestling's a big family, and that's kind of what's brought us together. And glad we could all meet up and talk about wrestling on this show.
And that's what I tell people all the time with professional wrestling. If it wasn't for that, who knows if we would have known each other.
Right.
Exactly.
I think even too, there's a lot more pro wrestling fans out there. They just don't want to admit it. It's kind of taboo. It's got a bad stigma around it, but it's great. It's good entertainment, and numbers don't lie. I mean, you see the people that fill up the Bluegrass Community Center, that place will undoubtedly be full for Epic. I can't wait. I can't wait for the show, and can't wait to see you there at the show.
100%. I can't wait to see you guys as well.
Same here. That is going to wrap tonight's episode of Card Subject to Change. If you're watching and you're on YouTube, don't forget, give us a like, share, subscribe. Card Subject to Change, once again, is powered by Lopi's Pizza, built by Durham Remodeling, colored by Ryan Allison too, and protected by Jared Zook Country Financial. We'll be back next Sunday. We're at an earlier time again next week. We're coming to you at 4:00 to give Nick and I time to watch AEW Dynasty. But next week, super excited. We have Mr. Good as Gold himself from Dreamwave, one Connor Hopkins, coming on the show. That's going to be a fun interview. I can't wait. Thank you again for tuning in. For our good friend Stryker, for my partner, never wrong Nick Bull, I am the Wizard CZ, and we will see you all next time right here on Card Subject to Change.